Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, May the 23rd. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and today's co-host is Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Martin. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. First time in our new studio for you.
I know, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's just like the old one.
It's chilled. It is very similar to the old one. It is very similar. It's chilled, though.
It's very nice, and we've had tea and coffee and
Garibaldi
biscuits.
Yeah,
more importantly,
he moaned, listener. He moaned because I didn't have hors d'oeuvres.
Yes,
well, something whatever hors d'oeuvres are.
I thought the lovely people from Petit Canapé might have Joanna may have kind of smuggled some secret stash in, but she hasn't. Joanna, very remiss of you.
You expect Joanna to send canapes every Tuesday?
Every time I'm here, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm on again on the 18th. So, make a note of that, please.
Yeah, we'll start saving up just to feed you.
I'm a big unit, Paul. I need my fuel.
I notice. Yeah. I mean, the people from Pinocchio's have gone wild since you've started eating there.
their profits.
You've doubled their profit margins.
So I've probably been there five times in the last 3 weeks. So, I know what you mean. Yeah. But I caught a glimpse of you partaking in a bit of culinary delight at the weekend. Was it Friday?
It was Friday. I was cooking in the rain.
Yeah.
I was cooking in a field in the rain, would you believe? Yeah.
Cooking up a bit of raw tuna. How does that work?
I cooked raw tuna.
Right.
Because I'm not stupid.
Doesn't it come raw already?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I was with the lovely folks from Stove Hub.
Yes.
And they have wood-burning stoves with a hot plate on the top. And they were at the Tenterton Food Festival. And somehow or another, they blagged me into cooking lunch on their stove. So I cooked Asian seared sesame tuna with a mixed tomato salad.
Ooh.
And the rain fell down. Yeah. It absolutely monsooned.
Now, Denise and I were having a bit of a discussion about what type of tomatoes they were. Were they cherry or plum tomatoes?
They were mixed tomatoes, available from all good branches of Waitrose. And they were all different colours. There were orange tomatoes, green tomatoes, purple tomatoes. And they were in a lovely little ginger and balsamic sauce that I rustled up.
It looked absolutely gorgeous. I would have come down, but I had this stinking cold last week, and it was pouring with rain, and I thought, I can't go out in that.
Well, I would have saved you some, but I ate it all.
Yeah. Although, apparently, you're missing a few seeds. You'd like them returned.
Well, apparently, they keep finding sesame seeds everywhere on their trailer. And I have asked them to bag them up and send them back. But they're still counting them at the moment.
It's quite a novel concept, that, isn't it, for a sort of log burner, you know, which you normally have in your lounge to kind of stick a sort of a hot plate on it and cook stuff from it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily intended to replace an Arga or anything like that.
Mm.
I think for the most part what you would do is leave a kettle on there boiling, to make tea or coffee.
Yes.
Or, you know, if you wanted to, you know, rustle up a quick bacon sandwich without switching the telly off, you know. If it's, you know, half-time doesn't last long enough or whatever.
I was all ready to fire mine up this week, and then I saw the weather forecast. It's going to be 30 degrees on Saturday, so I'm not sure I really want mine.
No, that's... You can end that. I opened my swimming pool this morning. It will snow by the weekend, and you trust me on
that.
Okay, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I'm not going to fire my log burner up in my lounge if it's 30 degrees. You know, I'm just not going to do it. I refuse, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, looked a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool. I want to start off with some kind of not-so-nice stuff, and then kind of hopefully we can lighten the mood a little bit. Obviously, last night's incident in Manchester has left us all feeling pretty wasted this morning about what's going on there, and we send our heartfelt sympathies to the victims, families and everybody in Manchester. I've also had a message from Chris Hyde. Chris sadly lost his daughter recently. And Chris has sent me a tweet saying, "Hi, Paul, just a quick note to thank you and all the gang on the Bunker Show for sending the card. And could you please give us a shout out for my thanks?" Of course we can, Chris. Our thoughts are with you and your family at this very difficult time. And you know, if you need anything, you know where we are and we're here to help. So sorry to start with bad news. That is the way of life these days, unfortunately, at the moment. There is some good things happening. It's Jules's birthday on Friday. Have you seen her Twitter feed this morning? It's full of monkeys. And that's not just her new husband. Gavin was doing chimp impersonations.
Is she going to be back? Because she's in Zimbabwe at the moment, I believe.
Zimbabwe at the moment. And she's staying at the lodge at Victoria Falls.
Victoria Falls, amazing
and
place.
Funnily enough, I've actually stayed there as well. So I know exactly. She thinks it's funny, yeah, because they've got signs saying, mind the baboons, because they get into your room and stuff. And she thought that was funny.
So she left the door open.
Yeah, I tell you what. That they're evil. They really do get into your room, and they're nasty things they are.
She could have just gone to Gibraltar, if that's what she was after. You can get those in Gibraltar.
A bit of monkey business, yeah. You know what Jules is like. Anyway, it's her birthday on Friday.
Happy birthday, Jules.
Happy birthday, Jules. I'll tell you what, she doesn't look her age, does she? She's looking really good.
I wouldn't go there if I were.
She's looking good for 72, don't you think?
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah. But she...
Jules, I hope you're not tuned in. I'm sure you won't.
No, she is. She is. She's tweeting me. She's tweeting me. She's in Zimbabwe listening right now.
Happy birthday for Friday.
Happy birthday for Friday, Jules.
We're all very jealous. Love to be out there.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. You can get in touch with us, of course, in all the normal ways here on the Business Bunker Show. We'd love to hear from you. You can, in fact, call me. And you can call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BeBunker. We have already had 1,932,436,004 tweets, because I counted them.
The last four were from Jules, weren't they?
And the last four were from Jules and were pictures of monkeys. Well, I think they were pictures of monkeys, or monkeys' bottoms at least.
I've got one here from Kimberly Stevens.
What, monkey's bottom?
No, a tweet.
All right.
From Kimberly Stevens.
Oh, Kim. Hi, Kim.
Care in Kent. Yeah. Hello, Kimberly. And she says, I'd love a shout-out for my awesome, compassionate, caring team working to keep vulnerable people safe in their own homes. Thank you, hashtag BeBunker. What a brilliant idea. So consider yourself tweeted out and carry on the good work, Kimberly.
I've had a tweet from the People Platform. Who say, have a great show, and could we give a shout-out for HR services and support, the lovely Fiona Stevens. I see Kim Stevens, there's two or three tweets she's put with different GIFs in each one, getting more and more awesome as they go through. Have you seen those?
There's a GIF craze going on at the moment, isn't there?
I think you know who that is, don't you?
Denise Wilton started
it's
all
of Denise
that.
And her crew of girly friends and their GIF madness.
And having just opened the door to that, no doubt we'll be inundated again with more GIFs.
Yeah.
Can I give a shout out to SNS Law? So the lovely Catherine Holt was on with us recently.
Mm, you can indeed.
And I bumped into those guys at Kent Vision Live week before last. Mm. And they had a brilliant stand there, and they actually had their a barrister's wig and gown with them.
I saw a picture of you in that.
And they were getting everybody to sort of dress up and have a selfie with Catherine, and it was enormous fun.
I'll put it to you, unanointed Christian.
A lot of people said to me afterwards that hair actually suited me, as opposed to being bald, which is kind of what I'm fast approaching now. So, I may at some point invest in a barrister's wig, but...
Don't you need a law degree or something as well? You can't wear it for the sake of wearing
wear
it.
Wear a wig?
Yeah, a barrister's wig.
I'm not going to call it a barrister's. I'll just call it a wig.
A wig, right, a syrup.
But Laura was there as well, because you guys were exhibiting. You had a really good show, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a great show for us, and we really enjoyed it. We met over 100 people that day on the stand. It was really good for us to let people know that the hotel is there and that we've changed. And we're definitely going to be doing it again next year.
I've got to say, I thought it was a brilliant day, and you needed all day to have all the, to meet everybody and to have, a proper chat with people.
To try on all their hair.
Well, there was that, and there were cupcakes. I mean, Laura...
Oh, that will be it then,
Laura
cupcakes.
Brought the most delicious cupcakes with icing on it that was just to die for. So, it was
a
great
day. We did
have
a rush in the afternoon when everyone needed a sugar rush for a cupcake.
I'm looking at her daggers now, going, cupcakes, where are they now?
They've all gone. We've eaten
Martin Etlemal.
But the FSB obviously supported that event.
They did indeed.
As they do Business Bunker and Supply My Business. And I just wanted to, you know, say a quick word on behalf of Alison, because I think she does an amazing job.
Alison Palmer, the development manager for Kent and Medway FSB, is an absolute superstar.
She really is.
She is absolutely brilliant, and we love you to bits, Alison.
Yeah. So well done, Alison, and well done, FSB, for getting behind a great event.
Absolutely. And talking of which, I need to say a big thank you to today's show sponsor. And today's show sponsor is Betts Hangar Park over there in Deal. Mm. And I want to tell you about a couple of things they've got going on. This weekend, bank holiday weekend, they have the world's, and I'm not kidding here, largest inflatable obstacle course called the Beast in operation. And Business Bunker listeners, if there's still any packages left, they're probably all gone now, but they've got some corporate packages that are offering 25% discount to Business Bunker listeners. Check my timeline, check Betts Hangar Park's chart timeline. Their Twitter handle is... Betts, B-E-T-S, Sus, S-U-S, Parks. Betts, Sus, that's Betts Hangar Sustainable Parks. Betts, Sus, Parks. Check their timeline out. They've got a video of it in operation. It's awesome. But they're also doing something else. And this caught my eye. And I think this sounds really cool if you're into such things as well. Is they've got a sci-fi sleepover. A sci-fi sleepover, if you would. Believe that. And what it is at Betts Hangar Park, they have an open-air cinema. Mm-hmm. And on the 24th of June, they've got two films, Galaxy Quest and Moon. And there's also stargazing and loads of other stuff. But you can sleep over there in the park too. How much fun is that? Yeah, geeky sleepover. So that's on the 24th of June at Betts Hangar Park, and early bird tickets are a paltry £27.50.
Well,
can't be bad.
Going back to the giant inflatable.
Yeah.
My wife is off to the garden show at Detling on Monday.
I wondered what he was going to do then. So, yeah, I was. Do you see the look come on my face? Well, we're going with this.
So if you're up for it on Bank Holiday Monday, let's get down there and go and have a bounce on the castle.
If us two bounced on that, it would burst, wouldn't it? For goodness sake. Well, obviously they wouldn't let us on, would they? Not at the same time.
They won't allow anybody else on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If we get... Yeah, why don't we go for that? What are you doing on Bank Holiday? There's a challenge. I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you see.
You don't want to know what I'm doing on Bank Holiday Monday.
You did this last year when we went to the go-karts at Butmore Park. You said, oh, yeah, I'm up for that.
No, I didn't.
Then you stuck young Kelly Culver in to whip my backside around Butmore Park.
I gave up my driving exploits a long, long time ago. I employed top-line drivers to drive for me, mate. Absolutely.
Anyway, on that theme,
because
they're not the only ones that are into kind of giant inflatables and that kind of thing, it's a knockout competition happening for Pilgrims Hospices. Mm. On the 9th of July, 10 till 4, at the Faversham Recreation Ground. And you can basically, for £25 a person, you can enter a team of 10 people.
Wow.
With a chance to win.
Do you know nine other people?
Spot prizes. Well, I do. Yeah, do you? Yeah.
Blimey.
As it happens. So everybody's welcome. Everybody's invited. So it's all for a fantastic cause, obviously Pilgrims Hospices, and you can also get involved by sponsoring it if you want as well. So the lady to talk to is Victoria Fryer, and her email address is victoria.fryer@pilgrimshospices.org. So that's on the 9th of July at the Faversham Recreation Ground. I wonder if Lucy and Rich Torble will be going to that, because they're Faversham folk, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I bet they'll be getting involved with that. So, anyway, it's a knockout for Pilgrim's Hospices. Look out for that.
Sounds good fun. I want to tell you about something slightly different now from one of our Channel Radio and Business Bunker sponsors, Channel FM, no relationship, Channel Facilities Management. They are passionate about providing commercial office cleaning in the southeast for clients in the following sectors: ports, education, healthcare, retail, construction, and a variety of small and medium-sized businesses. And although their facilities management company based in Kent, they offer a complete variety of soft services all across the UK. our aim is to compete with the larger FM cleaning companies, but they aim to do it in an environmentally serious fashion by not using standard cleaning chemicals. Okay, at Channel FM, they don't use any form of chemical whatsoever to carry out any type of cleaning task. As part of the campaign to bring eco-friendly green cleaning, they have launched a crowdfunder campaign. Okay, they've already met with a commercial director at the UK government, who has said that they have a real valid point that the industry and views on using chemicals needs to be taken into account. There is currently a huge drive for the Ocean Rescue Campaign, which is focused on plastics in our ocean. But Channel Facilities Management want to bring this to the forefront on land usage as well. So they have launched a campaign, and the campaign talks about their trigger spray bottles, which are reusable. The plastic bottles are reusable and recyclable. And this also goes for the bottles that their enzyme cleaning products are sold in. Now, what happens is all their cleaning products are enzyme-based rather than chemical-based.
Chemical-free, aren't they?
So they're all completely chemical-free. And the interesting thing is, you would expect that to be more expensive. Mm. It's actually cheaper. And it's cheaper because the cleaning materials they use goes far, far further than normal chemical cleaners.
And if you're actually peckish in the middle of a cleaning routine,
you can drink it.
The descaling product, which comes in a nice bright sort of strawberry colour, you can actually put on the end of your finger and have a little taste of it.
The business development manager, to prove how safe it was, drunk a slug of it while he was showing it to me.
That's one of their party tricks.
And the interesting thing, Channel FM clean one of my facilities for Fruitworks in Canterbury, and it works, you know. You know, it's okay saying this stuff, but it's got to clean it as well, hasn't it?
They've also just started working, I think, with our friend Jackie Offen at J&J Systems.
Yeah, absolutely. The stuff works. Anyway, they've got a crowdfunder campaign going. They're trying to raise $60,000 so that they can move this further on. You can put as little as a pound in, and if you put a few pounds in, you get things like your own eco cleaning materials and things like that. So they'll send you the cleaning materials so you can try it yourself at home. So the crowdfunder is crowdfunder.co.uk/Kent's Eco-Friendly Green FM Company. Or you can follow them on the Twitter at LTDCFM, which is their Twitter handle. Give them a follow. It's a great product. It's a great service that they provide, and it really is eco-friendly. So do check it out.
We've had a tweet from our friends at New Appointments Group, which will be Andrew Castle, no doubt.
Yep.
Looking forward to another lively show. Big shout out, please, to the county's 42-year-old recruitment company. So they've obviously just had a birthday, 42. Mm. Nearly as old as me, but not quite, Andrew. Not quite.
Congratulations. So New Appointments Group.
42, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, probably the county's leading independent recruitment consultants, and they've certainly played a large part in the business community over those 42 years. So many congratulations to Andrew and the team. I think they used to be based in Sittingbourne. I think they're based at Discovery Park now.
Is their main office.
So
covering the whole of Kent, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So huge congratulations to them. I've had a tweet from the Ashford Volunteer Centre as well, Ashford VC on the Twitter. Absolutely love the show. Could we have a shout out, please? What an awesome way to start the week on the Business Bunker show. So that's the Ashford Volunteer Centre. Follow them on the Twitter, Ashford VC. Oh, they've started sending me pictures of puppies now.
Who's this?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not even going to look. I don't like kitten and puppy pictures. Once you start, you get hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to do now, though?
Cheesy tunage.
I'm going to play some of the cheesiest tunage you've ever heard in your life. This is so cheesy, it makes cheese look cheesy.
Can I actually make a request? I know it doesn't work like that on this show.
Yeah, go on.
But if you could play Nimrod by the Royal Air Force Band, that would lead me into a nice email that I've got to read out.
No, I can't.
You can't do that.
No, because I've got some cheesy tunage for our next guest.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, all right. For Paul here. Yeah.
I'll have to hum it then.
And he's going to punch me as soon as he hears this, because this couldn't get any cheesier if you tried. Tell me, as soon as you get it. He's psychic. How did he know I was going to play that? He's psychic. It's the Buggles.
Oh. I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. RiftAccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business show worth visiting. Grow Kent, June the 14th at the Mercure Great Danes Hotel, Maidstone. Get free tickets at growkent.co.uk or come on the day.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no hassle, peace of mind, commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies, and facilities management. Operating a safe, green, and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, May the 23rd, with me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin White.
I was just listening to that last radio ad there for Channel FM. Do their cleaning products come with a pair of sort of 70s flares as well?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's good stuff, isn't it?
Love that.
It's retro radio.
Very, very.
Retro
fantastic.
Radio.
Great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That was some incredibly cheesy tunage there. Sorry about that. And Paul predicted that's what I would pick because I am so predictable at my cheesy tunage anyway.
Yeah, I wrote it down as soon as you said it, 10 minutes before the show started.
Absolutely, He is psychic. He will give you the lottery numbers later on in the show.
No, I'm not giving them away. Yeah.
You're keeping them to yourself. Cool. We're going to do a couple of more tweets and then we're going to talk to Paul about his business. I think I ought to mention this because Martin's been digging out puppy pictures, so I ought to mention this. The Heating Hub. For those of you that may or may not know, the Heating Hub have been running a competition for the last few weeks called hashtag Hot Dogs. And they've been asking for pictures of puppies and dogs, and they're going to pick some winners. And there's going to be a number of winners, but the overall winner is going to, the dog is going to be the face of Heating Hub. It's going to go on all their packaging, but there are lots of prizes to win. And Joe from the Heating Hub has tweeted me, and she says, by the way, our voting is now open for the hot dogs. So they've had all the submissions. They've had over 125 dog pictures submitted. Good grief. And they're saying, can we have a Business Bunker cute dog shout out, please? And the voting is now underway. If you want to follow this and find out any more about it and see all the pictures of the puppies, if you follow them on the Twitter, the Heating Hub on the Twitter, or heatinghub.co.uk is their website, and /hotdogs, or follow the hashtag hotdogs, and you can see all the pictures. I did see Tenterton Toilets. Laura did tweet a picture
of
her husky.
She's got a beautiful dog.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was staying with my good friend's sister at the weekend in Sundridge.
Right.
And she's got a lovely dog. It's a retriever stroke Springer Spaniel cross called Freddie, and he's gorgeous as well. But I'm more of a cat man myself.
Right, okay.
Easier to maintain. You just put a flap in the door and they do their own thing.
You pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So have you actually got a cat?
I've got two cats.
And
yeah.
What make are they?
They're both tabbies, yeah.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They're lovely, they.
Are they?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Speak to our first guest.
We're going to speak to our first guest, yeah. It's a real pleasure to welcome, and let me make sure I get this right, to welcome to the show for the very first time, Mr. Paul Hurley. And Paul is from Hamface, a video company, and Paul is based in East Sussex. So it's a pleasure to welcome him onto the show. Paul, welcome.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
It's nice to have you. Thank you for joining us. Why don't we kick off by telling the listener, and we only have one, and she's up a tree with a monkey in Zimbabwe at the moment. Why don't you tell us a bit about Hamface, what it is you actually do, and then we'll explore the history of Hamface, how you got into it, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, sure. Very simply, we create video for companies, primarily online video.
Right,
and
okay.
So that would typically be short-form video, not always, but 90% of the time.
Mm.
And those companies range from small local businesses in Kent and Sussex to large organisations and national brands. So we've made videos for companies like Virgin and L'Oreal and ASOS and the Huffington Post. We've also made videos for a local health company in Sandwich recently. This
right.
morning I was talking to a small business in Cranbrook about potential video work for them.
Okay.
So we kind of do the gamut of what I call social video. And it's primarily video that's going to be shown online, ideally video that is going to be shared. Most importantly, video that's going to help the business make more money.
Absolutely.
Because that's the number one thing they should be thinking about.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we've kind of gone video mad now, haven't we? Video is everywhere. It's very extensive. We videoed the start of this radio show, as we always do on Facebook Live. You get, you know, Periscope videos. Video has really taken off in a big way. And it's really interesting. As the owner of a couple of radio stations, I was talking to some radio executives in Los Angeles. he's not impressed, is he? I was talking to a guy who was a TV producer, and he said to me, the greatest TV at the moment is live videoed radio. Like, really? And he went, yeah. He said, and the reason being is you get all the benefits of radio and the benefits of video. And the benefits of radio are, is that when people are on the radio, they relax. There's no camera. There's just this little microphone. And very quickly, you forget there's anyone out there. So people are much more relaxed, normal, and themselves than they are in front of a TV camera. If you then video it, you get this far better experience. And when I thought about it, I could see where he was coming from. But it's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, I want to hear from you, but these are just some of my thoughts on it. One of the things I like, and I really want your thought on this as a professional in this field. Sometimes people say to me, oh, you know, you film that on your phone or whatever, it's a bit naff. But I think there's a higher tolerance for naff than there used to be.
Oh, I think there's been a higher tolerance for naff for the last few years. I mean, yeah. Ever since the whole, you know, we've all got phones now, so we're all used to filming, we're all used to showing stuff to our friends and family, and most of us in some shape or form are used to putting it online. And what you call the lo-fi sort of aspect to it, sometimes companies will actually want that, you know, that they want it to appear natural. You've got to be careful on the other hand, because sometimes you see some really like big brands doing fake lo-fi things. Oh, this was filmed at home, and it might be for some cereal or for some big brand type thing. So you've got to get it just right.
You can almost tell that it's stage managed, can't you?
It tends to be the big brands that always cock it up.
I mean, they're more noticeable, aren't they?
They're so desperate to try and be cool. I mean, I used to work at Unilever, and you know, we obviously Lynx was one of the brands that we worked on. And
well, the biggest two stories in the last month or so about video have been big brands related. One intentional, one unintentional. One was the Pepsi disaster, where Kendall Jenner is, you know, creating world peace with a can of Pepsi. It was, you just think about how did that get made from the get-go.
Yeah.
And two was not an intentionally made one, was the guy who was thrown off the plane, the United Airlines plane.
So,
you know, that's cost them millions in the lawsuit for him, millions in terrible publicity. And why, going back to what you're saying about someone was there just with their phone and filming it and sticking it up, we're completely tolerant to that. I mean, there's other reasons for that as well. I guess since the 90s, we've become used to kind of reality TV and seeing people in a very natural environment.
Absolutely.
And not everything isn't so prescribed anymore. But yes, the tolerance for lo-fi stuff is definitely there and has been there. Yeah. And you've got so many companies. And because when I go into companies, because we have a reputation for creating sort of viral stuff or funny stuff, that's kind of how we made our reputation in the first place.
Right.
That they're all seeking that, you know. And so you go through your Facebook feed now, it's full of companies trying to grab your attention with the latest funny thing. And it's increasingly difficult for companies like, you know, for all video companies to do that, because it was different 5-7 years ago, but now everyone is trying
Everyone's
to do
doing it. You've got a huge amount of competition. Absolutely.
But some of it's really effective, isn't it? Because I'm the guy that launched the direct shaving blade business to your
Dollar
door.
Beard Club, isn't it?
Something like that, he's done an amazing film, hasn't he? But I wouldn't say it was a cheap production job. It was, but it is him. It's very natural, but done in a very stylized way.
Yeah, it is, and it's very good, and it's had millions of views, and is credited as starting that company off, really, or taking it to the multi-million pound place where it is. But for every one of him, there's like 100 who failed, you know, because it's easy to remember the good ones.
I could tell you my story from 30 years ago about a TV ad in the United States that always, it still makes me smile today. I worked in Dallas 30 odd years ago, and on TV in the southwest of the US, there was a local chicken store, you know, like Kentucky Fried Chicken, but not. They were actually bigger than KFC in that area. And it was owned by a guy called Frank Perdue, who owned the chain, and they had like 400 stores. And like a lot of American entrepreneurs, he liked to do his own TV commercials. And for years, he did a commercial on TV where he just walked out in front of his store, big 10-gallon hat on, you know, you can imagine, Texan. And he delivered his strap line to camera. And his strap line was, it takes a tough man to make tender chicken. Okay, that was his strap line, whatever. he ran that ad for years. It got loads of views, a very successful company. And they expanded into Mexico. And they were going to put the TV ad on Mexican TV. And Frank said, well, I want to do it. And they said, well, do you speak Spanish? And he went, no. And they said, okay, well, we'll translate it. So they got a translator. Mm. So Frank appeared live on, well, not live, in an advert on Mexican TV that had 8 million viewers. And he looked at camera and he said, in perfect Spanish, not Mexican Spanish, it takes a hard man to make a chicken affectionate. yeah. So it's about the content. And you were just saying, Paul, about how much harder that is to think of original content. If we engage an organisation like Hamface Video, is that really where you're helping us?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the two key areas where companies are struggling, and especially smaller companies, is figuring out the messaging and figuring out distribution. Mm. And there's reasons for that as well, because a lot of small and medium-sized companies might not have a marketing team in place. They might have the budget for that. Mm. They're being stretched left, right, and centre just to pay the bills at the end of the month. So how are they suddenly going to be some sort of genius in terms of creating online video? What are they going to say in that video, and where are they going to put it? So I think that where we help particularly is creating concept, creating messaging, because look at your Facebook feed. When you go through it, it's just a barrage of information. The single biggest thing that's happened with video in the last couple of years has been the way it is now working on Facebook. Not just Facebook Live, which that was a good example of you using it today, I think. A lot of companies are trying to, you know, figure out how to cash in, as it were, on that. Mm. But just the fact that video is playing in a native format in the Facebook feed now. Some companies are savvy to that and are using it well, but a lot of companies are unaware of it or struggling with it. And you've got such a vast amount of information scrolling down that feed. How do you make something how do you create something that makes someone want to stop, find out more, and do something about it? So.
But you're also dealing with human beings, aren't you, more importantly? The content is one thing, but then you've got a guy on the, you know, who's having a camera pointed at them, and it's a bit like sort of rabbit in a headlights. I mean, I had a video made for our business, but in the sort of the early days of supplying my business, and I found it probably one of the most stressful things I've ever had to do. Not only did I feel I needed to try and learn a script, but then I had to try and regurgitate that script in a way that sounded like I wasn't reading from a script and be natural and everything else. It's very, very tough to do.
Totally, and that's also part of my job, or part of our job, is to figure out, is that going to happen, make the person feel comfortable. And you often find, sometimes, right, you might have the life and soul of the party off camera, as it were, this sort of, you know, centre of attention type person. Then you put the camera on and they could fall to pieces or they go to bits. So it is my job to figure out ways around that. I'm with you that there's nothing like one. I've actually written a book about all of this, which we can talk about a little bit. One of the chapters in there is, should you use members of staff in your videos, and how you should use members of staff.
Howard from the Halifax type thing.
He was quite good. You know?
He was.
He stuck around, didn't he? But I know what you mean about freezing. I had this with
me personally. It was it was a very difficult thing to do.
But not all the videos we do have got, you know, they're not just all people talking to camera. I'd figure out relaxed with that? Or if not, we'll do something else. I had this actually happen quite recently with a local business client, and we went in and I was just talking about the possibility of one of the staff members being on camera. I thought this woman was just, I thought she was going to faint. She was so shocked, as if it was going to be her filmed. I was like, look, if you don't want to do it, but it's not all about being filmed on camera. It's about grabbing people's attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Paul. And we see that quite a lot, even on the radio. You know, people come in and they chatter away and you turn the mic on and silence, and they go, yeah, don't know, maybe. And so it is all kinds of people.
Was that your way of making our guests feel at ease?
Yeah. Well, they're all right. They've been they're all okay.
Laura's sitting next to me, trembling now.
Why? No, she is. Yeah. Well, I don't blame her. She's sitting next to you. That's why. It's got nothing to do with the radio.
I have that effect on ladies.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah, they want to run away. Yeah. Exactly. The interesting thing about this is I want to kind of develop this, as you've said, is scripting. Now, for me personally, I'm just not a scripty person. Many years ago, I worked for a long, long time as a motivational speaker. And once I tried to write a speech, and it was the worst speech I've ever delivered in my life. The rest of the time, I just go by the seat of my pants and it kind of works out okay. But and I'm gobby, so that's fine. But what I find is, unless you're a professional actor or voiceover artist, it's very hard to disguise a script. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. Yeah. That's why you either employ your professional actor or voiceover person, or if it's just you and you're like that and you're going to feature in it, I'll just come in and make you as relaxed as possible, because it's important for whoever my client is to trust me, okay, or to trust us. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Are these people going to create the product at the end of the day that's going to work for us? Yeah. And when we do the day's filming or the 2 days filming, am I going to feel relaxed? So it might be in your instance that you're just going about, and I'd be almost like fly on the wall type stuff, that you wouldn't be too aware that I was there. Or, like, if you get to know me a bit, I'm a friendly person. It's just like having a chat with a mate or something, and having someone film it and then making it all look nice and professional in the edit. So that, and also, that's good because it's getting the real you across. Because if you're then, like, you're kind of a chatty person and easy to go with, but if you then are all tense when you're trying to read off a script, it's going to be unnatural. Like you were saying, Martin, you know.
Oh, he's very unnatural.
I mean, doing it covertly almost would be the key to making it feel unscripted, as it were.
And it's, you know, one of the ways you can do it is to just do a bunch of interviews with different people, and if you do like 3, 4, 5 interviews with people in a company, make them feel relaxed over the course of, I don't like to do long interviews, 5 to 7 minutes. You'll always find some little gem from everyone that you will pull out. And I've had so many people, and I've done a lot of, like, for instance, I've done a lot of charity stuff with kids, and it could be, you know, kind of harrowing or difficult, and kids get all nervy and you don't know how they're going to act. But we're very used to making people feel relaxed.
Absolutely.
I think that's the key.
I want to move on now and talk about another thing. Many, 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 many years ago, back in the early days, I had a video made for my website. Nobody ever watched it. It was a good video. It was really well made by a top company, but nobody ever watched it. And that's because there's no reason for them to have watched it. You know, they come into the website to do something. There happens to be a video there. What, you know, about 3 people would click on it. Nowadays, that's different. So it's about, I guess it's about the placement of the video and why you're doing it, where you're doing it, and how you're doing it. Because, as you said yourself earlier, Paul, you need to get it in front of people. But not only do you need to get it in front of people, it needs to stand out amongst all the other ones that are out there. So can we discuss some of the things around doing that in terms of placement?
That's the number one thing, I really think. I mean, I'm still astonished with companies that do have marketing departments that I say to them, well, where are you going to put the video? What's your plan with the video? Because that's really kind of the most important thing. I will put it on YouTube. And as if that's just suddenly going to magically generate thousands or tens of thousands of views. That ain't going to happen, right? That might have happened if you had a really good video 10 years ago, but it should be on YouTube. But YouTube really is just a platform, a depository, you know. And it should be on your website as well, because if you've spent the money on it, you should post it on there.
Exactly.
It should be highly relevant. But really, I have to go in, figure out what it is you're trying to do, craft that message, and then think about the distribution. And as I'm sure you probably all know, but if you don't, or people who aren't listening, the distribution, the targeting you can do now on Facebook, and we're reading about it in the papers to do with, like, what they're doing with politics, for example, but the targeting you can do is absolutely extraordinary. So you could hit, you know, if you wanted to hit all dentists in Kent, you can do that. If you wanted to hit all, I don't know, people interested in a certain fashion line in Kent who are earning over a certain amount, who like this personality and this website, you can really go in and do incredible targeting in the ads manager.
Demographic.
Totally. And you will just hit those people.
It's but interesting how that, people are talking about Facebook now purely in those terms, though, isn't it? It is becoming an advertising, a paid-for advertising vehicle.
Well, going back to what you're saying, is almost becoming like the bloke, the Mexican chicken guy from 30 years ago. That's where you're seeing the Mexican chicken guys of today, really. And it is becoming like our kind of information.
Exactly. But I just wonder how long that will last for, because, if you think about my own TV viewing experience at home, I never watch anything live on TV now because I don't want to sit through the bloody adverts.
Right. You might only watch like a sport thing because it's live, or you might only watch like a Strictly or an X Factor thing because you want to watch that live. Very rarely do we watch anything else live, and we're buzzing through all the ads. But all the ads and the spend is moving on to social. So when we create a suite of videos or a bunch of videos for a client, we'll figure out all that messaging, we'll figure out who's going to be on it, how we're going to make people comfortable, we'll figure out, going back to what you were asking about how you would get that attention, you've got to get people's attention within the first 10 to 15 seconds. Absolutely. And what that is, kind of what is called within the business, a pattern interrupt. So when you're scrolling down Facebook, you're kind of in a kind of a daydreamy mode of just looking at, oh, what's he, what's she saying? Don't want to watch that. Oh, what's this? And it's the thing that makes you go, oh, what's this? That's what you're trying to achieve. But not only that.
Because it is an endless feed, isn't it? As you scroll down. I mean, you could literally sit there and just scroll and scroll and scroll.
I mean, you see this with a lot of media outlets now, a lot of newspaper outlets that go for what are called clickbait, where they have the evil headline, or the outrageous headline, just to make you stop and look at it and read some complete and utter nonsense that's put there purely as clickbait, just so that, they will get you onto their platform or whatever
it is. Yes, and that's all right for one of those media organisations, but if you're like a small or medium company, it's giving off a bad impression.
Exactly.
What you've really got to think about is how can I create the message that will interrupt people's sort of scroll feed, as it were, and what are they going to do? What do I want them to do at the end of it? Like, the key things you should be thinking about doing are, well, number one thing is some sort of call to action. So it could be just, it could be just buy something. But more commonly, it could be just for more information. Get their email address. And getting someone's email address is a really gold dust thing right now. And building your list. You should be doing all of these things. It should be part of your overall marketing campaign. Increasingly for us now, I mean, I did just start on my own with video, but increasingly now everything that we do blends into everything else that people are doing. Or sometimes I'll say, look, can you do the whole thing?
Give us an example then of a client that you've worked with where you've had that kind of impact and those kind of results. What's been the key? How have you kind of top and tailed it? What have you done to kind of get that impact in the first instance?
Let's take a company that was based in San Francisco, right, which we did. That's the other thing now about the way we work and the way we can work online, is that I could have Skype meetings with them. They came across me because they'd seen a previous funny video that they liked the style, and they were involved in the education business, making apps, right, making phone apps to do with the education. So we created, they were very good at creating the apps, and they wanted to do a specific thing, was to aim for what is called a National Science Award in the States, which is about $500,000 or $1 million if you get this, and that would give them funding. And so we created a whole suite of content marketing for them, really, over the course of 6 months to a year. So it wasn't just eye-catching video. It was the Twitter. But it's not just like, oh, some random person sending out Twitter. It's got to be inserting into the conversation. So you've got to be getting in front of the right people at the right time. We did blogging in the right place, so that at the end of the 6 months, they got their $500,000, and it was part of that,
So you've made a really interesting point there. It's not about doing one thing and doing it once and then forgetting about it. It's actually having a suite of things that you do over time, drip, 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 as opposed to thinking, okay, I'll run a 30-second ad and hit X TVRs and that'll be the end of it.
And what you've, two things, it's exactly that, but two things that happen commonly are, especially small businesses, they don't have the resource. They might palm off that, give that Twitter work to the junior. Give the Twitter feed to the intern.
Yeah.
And I've heard someone once say, giving that Twitter feed to the junior is a junior mistake. It's a bad mistake because they are representing your company. They don't have the resource necessarily. And a lot, there is still an air of cynicism. Oh, this new, people are still, this new media, newfangled social media, I don't get it. Does it work? Does it generate ROI? Well, let's show you some examples of how it does. So that's what we would typically go in and talk to people about.
Oh, quick question for you, Paul, actually. How important is humour? well, grabbing people's attention with it comes to videos and things like that. So I'm thinking about that guy in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's like nowadays that would go viral. Yeah. You know, especially in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he didn't mean it, of course.
Exactly. Sometimes that's the mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. It's what makes it work. You're right. Yeah.
Well, I think humour is one of the really important things. It's not the only way you can grab people's attention. We do a lot of humour-related videos. We've got about 20 to 30 writers on our team, and some of those have worked for comedy TV shows. They've been Tweeters of the Year, comedy Tweeters of the Year on Twitter, etc. So they know that world. Humour is always good, and humour is a key driver of people sharing things.
It has to be done okay? right.
But it's got to be done right, and you have a lot of, like, bit like the Mexican chicken guy again, but you have a lot of like naff smalls, like it could be a cafe or they're trying to do some sort of their own version of this, that or the other, and it kind of goes viral for the wrong reason. But even though it goes viral for the wrong reason, sometimes it could be sweet, so it could still make a bit of
there's
noise
no such thing as bad publicity,
well,
don't they
say? Yeah, 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 but yeah. I think humor is, you know, yeah. Look at what, when we started sharing stuff on the internet, how are we doing it? We were sending emails around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what were we sending around? We were sending around funny things.
Mm.
People are still doing that. Normally it's your parents now, right? Because we're not necessarily, we're sharing it in probably different ways. And
yeah.
We're sharing it on Facebook. And we're also sharing, another massive change that's happened in the last 2 years is the way in which we are now sharing in what's called dark or hidden social. And that's places like WhatsApp.
Mm.
Or Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
And the reason that that is important is that companies can't see that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's another big story.
Yeah, dark social media. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating topic. There's lots to come. Martin kind of alluded to it as well, of course, that the pace of change now is such that it's almost, you know, hamster wheel stuff, isn't it? You're running to keep still, to keep up with everything new. And Martin was relating to Facebook in this, Facebook becoming a big advertising platform. It won't last because nothing lasts. You know, now we reinvent something else and something else and something else and something else. And the pace of change is so quick. I guess for those of us that work in creative industries, that's kind of nice because it keeps the creative juices flowing and it keeps you needing to innovate. Well, it gets harder and harder and harder, but you can't.
But on a fundamental level, who actually wants to look at advertising?
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, that, nobody in their right mind wants to sit there looking at advertising, yeah. Do they?
No, absolutely.
I mean, that the businesses that are succeeding today are building communities of people that interact with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not have stuff broadcast at them.
Yeah,
I don't care how smartly targeted it is. The bottom line is it's advertising.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of what we're talking about here in terms of the content, isn't it? It's no longer just push marketing. I mean, that died years ago where you just go, you know, it's flash, you know, ooh, it's, I mean, 30p off.
Surely a testimonial-focused film where your customers talk about what they like about your business is going to be far more powerful than having some characterless managing director talking about what their company mission statement
testimonial
is.
Testimonial and that kind of social proof and that kind of authority are, I completely agree, they are really useful, really useful. We do those a lot, yeah.
You do see quite a few big corporations now do adverts that aren't about their products at all.
Exactly.
And they're just kind of associating themselves with something, some kind of, you know, maybe eco-based thing or planetary thing or some kind of happening or festival. They'll associate themselves with it, run a whole advert about it without really ever mentioning their product. And then at the very end, you go, what's this got to do with you? Oh, well, you know, not a lot, really.
And they have to be really careful. It's a bit like the Pepsi example.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You could really go careful. Badly wrong. Yeah.
I mean, I was at the Kent B2B exhibition month or so ago now at the Ashford International, and the keynote there was from a guy that started a company called Beer Bods.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they do is they supply you 12 bottles of beer once a quarter for 36 quid. But their business is actually all about building a community of beer drinkers, because having delivered that beer to you, everybody goes online into the kind of the community forum and they share their experiences with other people. Now, that for me is where business is going. You know, it's not the brand owner controlling that. It's actually the customer who controls the relationship on that level, if that makes sense.
Yep.
It is, yeah. And just if you don't mind me doing a quick kind of a segue into what you're saying about people innovating or me having to innovate or create a business. We have launched a new product in the video side of things now, which is not necessarily to do with businesses. It's a domestic product. And the idea is that if you've seen any of those genealogy shows on TV where they find a famous person and you know, find their past, and they take them all around the place and discover something interesting in their past. We've got a domestic version of that. So that is a kind of legacy gift aimed at the kind of slightly older market, a kind of legacy gift that they could leave for their children or their children's children. It's a half an hour show containing interviews, containing archive footage, professionally made with a voiceover. Could be also a gift for parents who are reaching a certain birthday or a certain wedding anniversary. Or it could be a gift, like a unique gift for if you've given every single gift you can imagine, it could be a unique gift that you can give. So that is a new, and the reason why that is innovative, or segues in from what you're saying, is that 10 years ago you couldn't have done that for like 50 grand or 100 grand. Mm. You could do it for a smidgen of that now. So we are offering that now.
Fantastic. And we're kind of fast running out of time. You did mention earlier a book, so I want you to give a plug for the book.
Thank you. It's called Viral, the Social Video Handbook. It's basically got all the lessons I've learned making company videos, big and small, and it's for anyone who's interested in commissioning video or making video. And it's available on Amazon, and there's some good reviews on there as well.
Fabulous. Great to hear from you, Paul.
Thank you.
Give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out more about
you. Absolutely. It's handface.co.uk, H-A-N-D-F-A-C-E, and if they just want to email me, it's paul@handface.co.uk, and I'm always happy to talk to anyone about any queries on an informal basis.
Twitter?
At Handface Video.
At Handface Video. Yeah. Thanks.
Paul Hurley, Handface Videos, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monkey Show. Fabulous discussion. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
We're fast coming up to the halfway point in the show. We've still got gazillions of tweets coming in, got loads of emails.
On that note, Paul, we've had Jackie from J&J Systems saying, please can I have a shout out on the Business Bunker? I've just taken delivery of my cleaning products from Channel FM.
Has she?
Who've also tweeted in to say, I bet Paul's got a pair of flares in his wardrobe still, to which I replied, yeah, he does, but they don't fit him anymore.
That's true.
And we've also got the lovely Catherine Holt from SNS Solicitors, who's joined us as well. And we were talking about her.
Fantastic.
Her barristers.
I want to come back to Jackie. You see what she did to my dinner jacket? She rubbed up against me.
What, at the
Kent Creative, Kent Creative Live Awards, she rubbed up against me, and she was wearing a white fur stole.
Ooh.
And she rubbed up against my dark velvet dinner jacket, which is now covered in white fluff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How did you explain that one away when you got home?
Well, there was no one there, was there? I live on my own, so I didn't have to explain it to anyone. I could have explained it to your cats, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway.
Jackie and Channel are also exhibiting at Grow Kent, which was one of the radio ads we listened to earlier
in
as
Maidstone,
well.
So 14th, yep.
Grow Kent, going to be another enormous business-to-business exhibition. Laura, are you guys there exhibiting?
No,
I'm sure there's still some stands available. It's £300.
It's at the Mercure Hotel, Great Danes, at Hollingbourne. Yeah. Cool.
Maybe your colleagues will be there with a stand.
Well, they've got a whole hotel there, haven't they,
well,
Mercure? ZC Life, one-day digital event on the 9th of June at the Ashford International Hotel, 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's free to attend. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies over a whole day with international speaker, business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns. There are some sponsorship opportunities still available. If you'd like to increase your company brand exposure and profile, do you want to put your business in front of thousands of business people each month? If you have wanted to reach a wide range of new clients, become a sponsor of ZC Live. You can find out more and reserve your free place by going to zcsocialmedia.com/ZC Live.
Just want to give a quick shout out for Gemma Fairclough Haynes. At Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter. Gemma's been running a really successful series of employment law seminars, which have really got some traction out there. And her next one, she's just had one last week, but her next one is on the 26th of June. So if you are working in a business where you don't have a full-time dedicated HR manager, for example, but obviously you're very aware of the fact that you need to stay on the right side of the law when it comes to employment contracts, handbooks, etc., please get yourself along to one of Gemma's workshops at Gemma Fairhay or info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk for more information.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. I'll tell you what, can you read one more tweet? Can you find one more tweet? Just while I mess about with this a second.
Yeah, I'm going to read out the Leeds Castle concert. So we mentioned this briefly earlier, I think, but the Central Band of the Royal Air Force, and they're always fantastic value, will join the prestigious lineup for this year's Leeds Castle Classical Concert in Kent on Saturday, the 8th of July. So they'll be playing all sorts of favourites like Nimrod and music like that, I'm sure, which will be fantastic. It gets everybody going. So the chosen charity this year is the Royal Air Forces Association, and the band will be conducted by Wing Commander Piers Morrell, who is soon to be promoted to Principal Director of Music. So if they don't put on a good show, he'll be getting it in the neck, I'm sure. So the best way to book tickets are picnic style tickets, £42, which is very nice. So take your own grub along and a bottle of bubbly and sit on a nice rug. £42 for those, £53 for seated tickets. And actually, there's an early bird offer on those as well. Visit leedscastleconcert.co.uk for more information.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. Evening. We're going to go over to the newsroom now, and then we're going to come back in 5-10 minutes and complete the second half of the show. Here we go.
Channel Radio News Update.
I'm Abby Smithson. A 23-year-old man has been arrested in connection with last night's attack at Manchester Arena. Here in the city centre of Manchester, a cordon's still in place and the usually bustling city is just a bit quieter than usual. Last night, 22 people were killed and 59 injured in what GMP's chief constable has called the most horrific